Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today I'm going to continue to talk about the return of the Lord, in particular to talk about Jesus' exhortation to the apostles to be ready for what will precede the return of the Lord, the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties. I'm going to take a little look at what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Just a few days before the Last Supper, he's communicating with the apostles what's going to happen, both when he's prophesying what's going to happen when the temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. That happened in 70 AD. And many scholars also believe he's talking about the final return of the Lord and the kind of things that are going to precede it and happen in that context. And he's warning the apostles, he's preparing them, trying to strengthen them to be able to pass through and endure it. One of the fundamental postures and dispositions of a Christian, it's throughout the New Testament, is to be a witness and to be a witness living in a world that's witnessing to something in opposition to the kingdom, but to stand and to be able to, with patient endurance, to withstand whatever comes and to be faithful to our bearing witness. And the word witness means martyr, to the point of even witnessing to the point of death, just like Jesus did. And like the book of Revelation speaks about the martyrs who died. They didn't cling to their own lives, but they bore witness. And through the victory they won was through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the heavens rejoice and sing and give praise at the faithful witnesses who followed in the footsteps of the faithful witness, Jesus. Jesus did just that. And so as Jesus now, in the section from the Olivet Discourse leading to the Last Supper, when Jesus is going to prepare the apostles to deal with what's about to come with his crucifixion, he's talking about some really heavy things, and he wants them to be clear about what they're going to undergo. And also in John's Gospel, in the Last Supper Discourse, which we've referred to a number of times over the last few months, it's important to be able to hear the words of Jesus because they apply to us throughout the whole journey as Christians, but also in particular when it's troubled times. I mean, there were certainly our brothers and sisters in the last 150 years all over the world, in places all over the world, who've lived through great, great tribulation and who experienced tremendous persecution, and ultimately many died for the faith. Died, they stood their ground, they were faithful, they died faithful to the Lord and faithful witnesses. And so when we're making our way through Advent, when we remember the two comings of our Lord, we know came the first time, as I said yesterday, as a lamb to lay down his life, to bring salvation to the world and to share, as the catechism describes it, to share the life that was in himself with us. He came to a race of people who were dead in sin, who had a death-directed existence and were given in Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and were united to in baptism the Christ life, the life that's in Jesus that leads us to eternal life and to share everything that belongs to him. So John's Gospel touches as well, as I said, in that Last Supper discourse on Jesus preparing the apostles to be able to endure and to bear witness in the midst of great trial and difficulty, and he encourages them. So let's take a look. Start with Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, just sections from it, verse 2. For example, Jesus said to them, "Not one stone," that is of the temple in particular, he's now talking about the destruction of the temple coming in 70 AD, "shall be left here upon another. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. The end is not yet. The nation," that's ethnos, the Greek word is ethnos, "nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Then many will betray one another. Then false prophets will rise and deceive many." So as I was reading yesterday from the Catechism, reminds us, taking it from passages like this, the final battle against the enemy, the Antichrist, that's going to rise, what's going to emerge is a religious deception. And the Antichrist will deceive many. He'll work signs and wonders of different kinds. He'll be a very, very compelling person. And through difficulty, he's going to unite a significant portion of the world in some way. He's going to be a powerful figure in the world, and he's going to promise peace, and there'll be a brief time of peace. And people say, no, I'm going with that guy. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a time in which he, whoever this Antichrist figure is, and the powers that be around him are going to say, yes, you can have this and you can move in this direction, but you've got to cut yourself off from Christ, essentially, and the church, and to deny it, to apostatize. That's the picture of Scripture. That's what the Catechism clearly underlines for us. Now, Matthew 24 goes on. It says, they will lay their hands on you, that is beatings and the rest, and they'll persecute you, delivering you up to prisons. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, for there will be a great distress upon this people, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And the story of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was just like this in many ways. It was very brutal and very dramatic. And Jesus was prophesying what was going to happen. And he, at the same time, was encouraging them to be strong and to not let their hearts be troubled. Now, John's gospel in John 14 at the Last Supper discourse, the apostles have heard already what Jesus was saying about the destruction of Jerusalem, but also many times now in this Last Supper discourse, Jesus is talking about his own death. And the apostles had not yet fully come to terms with that fact. So that's a very troubling thing. Imagine having lived with Jesus for 3 years and loving him so and having so much hope for what you thought he was going to do in overthrowing the Romans, and he was going to straighten all things out, and he was going to continue to ascend to position of power and influence to the point where he would be unstoppable in establishing his messianic destiny on earth. And they didn't quite grasp it, but Jesus keeps talking about it, that he's going to die. And he tells them he's going to be betrayed by one of his closest friends. And he talks about the hardship of what they're going to face, and they're obviously shaken by it. He also talks about dimensions of the return of the Lord and what's going to happen. So in John 14, verse 21, and it's underlined again in verse 27, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. It's a command. He wants the apostles to understand that with his help and the help of the Holy Spirit, they will be able to prevent themselves from falling into a troubled heart in such a way they're filled with anxiety, fear, shame, grief, in a way that overwhelms them. And they're deeply shaken. And that's a very human experience, a very human reality in the face of trouble and serious tribulation. But he's just saying, be calm. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Instead, you know, you believe in God, so believe in me. And he said, the peace I have with you, my peace I give you. The peace I have, I now give to you. So he's saying, I'm going to give you the help, and it's really the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you grace and power to be able to live with an untroubled heart, with a calm heart in the midst of great trial. And you'll be a light, you'll be a source of hope, and you'll be able to endure patiently to the end. And you won't get thrown off track. You won't be caught up in a storm of fear and emotion and anxiety that's going to cause you to break or to give up or to give in this troubled time. And so he's really commanding the apostles. You know, he's giving them a word of command. And he's expecting them to be able, obviously, to respond to it. And so there's so much there. They're going to have to overcome the death of the Lord, you know, before they see him rise again. You know, the destruction, despair, and the fear that happens in a culture in turmoil. In some ways, that's some of what is affecting people today, the fear of the shaking and the destabilization of culture and politics and the rest. And the shame of personal failure. I mean, that's something that Judas couldn't handle himself, and he ended up killing himself. And Peter himself had to deal with because he denied Jesus three times, despite the fact that he told Jesus that would simply never happen, that he loved Jesus too much, and he of all people, was going to be loyal to the end. And then Jesus allowed him to experience, for Peter to experience the weakness of his own heart. And what happens when our hearts are gripped by trouble and anxiety and fear, these kinds of things. So the Lord is teaching us, I think, through this. There's so much that we can draw on, friends, to be able to hear the word of the Lord. So I'd like to today, tomorrow, and maybe the rest of this week, kind of step into the specifics of, in particular, what's happening in aspects of this Last Supper discourse in John's gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul echoes the same kind of theme in the midst of distress and difficulty and darkness. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. You can take that to the bank, friends. It's Jesus knows, and he wants us to come to understand, despite the fact that we may not have a lot of confidence in it, that we don't have to be gripped by anxiety and fear and to become dominated by it. We have authority in Christ. We have the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And obedience to his commandments will lead us to the kind of disposition he wants us to live in so that we ourselves are not seduced, but we can also help other people who are in the midst of that kind of trial and difficulty. Again, let me read it. Be anxious for nothing. Paul's exhortation, Jesus says, you know, do not be anxious. It's sometimes a head scratcher to think, don't be anxious about anything. I mean, it's the human disposition almost is given over to constant anxiety, where it's easy to be anxious about almost everything in different ways, but we can live differently. Why? The one who hopes lives differently. That's a line from Encyclical on Hope that Pope Benedict XVI wrote, and it's really true. And the one who hopes is the one who does exactly what Jesus is describing, because what does Jesus promise the apostles? He says to them very clearly, he said, okay, don't let your hearts be troubled, but instead, believe in the Father, believe also in me. In the Father, my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to send my Spirit to you. He's going to lead you to all truth. He's going to give you counsel. He's going to help you. You don't even have to worry about what you're going to say when you're brought in front of the enemies of the kingdom who are trying to intimidate you. I will speak through the Holy Spirit, will give you the words you need to speak. And I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. And then I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to bring you home. That's the word of God. That's the promises of Jesus. That's the leadership of Jesus being communicated faithfully to those he loves. And he's saying, hold on to that. Set your eyes on that. And that's what hope is. Confidence about the fulfillment of all that Jesus is promising to them. And he promises it to us. And if we live it and believe it and receive it, in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, the way the apostles did, we too will stand and will be able to patiently endure and to be fruitful in the midst of trial. So I'm going to break this open a little bit more tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join me and ask your friends to join as well if you're being fed by this. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.